shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
And welcome, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome to our program here this evening. We're with you every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and we do things, and we go places, and it's pretty different. I think we cover the waterfront here. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that has been kicked around. It's a topic that nobody really wants to touch, but we're going to touch it tonight, and it is highly relevant given recent events, and that is the notion of gun control. We're also going to have more reporting on the Olympics as some of these trials are going on, some of the sprints, the 200-meter races, qualifiers are happening. The Jamaicans are looking very strong. So we're going to have some reporting there, Bud, right, from Miss Gray?
Yeah, Margaret Gray, Bobby.
Margaret Gray will be with us. Our number is 877-876-7445. Before we get to our first guest this evening, I want to remind you that our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, you'll be able to listen to all of the archived audio that we have over a decade's worth. This month, we've got a little bit of a special going on with our merchandise. If you purchase $30 or more in our shop, you get two free shot glasses. The world-famous Phil Hendry official shot glass. Man up, get the world-famous Phil Hendry Show shot glass. As we like to say, it's, Bud,
automatic manhood.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Well, I'm not laughing, but...
Well, anyway, that's what we say. Automatic manhood, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show shot glass. Also, coming up on the 19th, Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison with their coverage of the Milwaukee Lions in the Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference. That will begin preseason action August 19th with your backstage pass. You get the live game as it happens, and you'll get the downloads as well. All right, we're going to get on the line here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. And it's, as I said, Dean, it's a touchy subject, one that I don't know has been explored too much in recent days, because two things, I think, have collided. One, the obvious, the anger that we have over these violent attacks that have taken place, and the reticence that we have to address that problem by way of gun control, because I don't know, you're going to disagree with me, but I think a lot of people are thinking now, I want to have a gun.
I don't know, Phil. If people want to have a gun while the theater is dark and they are hiding behind a chair and you can't see where you're shooting and you decide that you're going to have some sort of a shootout with a maniac, I don't think that I am speaking out of school when I say that you could see a whole lot more people die than died that night. Now, I know that that is completely the opposite of the view that is held by yourself and others, but I'm telling you, I'm coming from a point of view, Phil, that is not just the fact that I have a more holistic view of life, but I do come from a history myself, as I've been very candid with you and your audience, of violence. And I, with the help of a wonderful wife and many of the spiritual philosophies that I put into place, I've been able to turn my life around. But I was, at one time, a very, very, very damaged human being. I was a drug dealer, and I was also violent towards women.
I understand that, and I appreciate you saying that, Dean, but I don't know that we're talking about your kind of violence, which was, I shouldn't say your kind of violence, it was domestic violence. We're talking about this antisocial, psychotic, or psychopathic violence. And, this guy that was arrested, the guy that was killed, thank God, in Milwaukee, who...
When you say thank God, can I just ask you a question?
Let me finish my point, though, and you can ask me a question. A white supremacist, a skinhead, one of these right-wing, very, totally neo-Nazi people are violent people. They believe that violence moves the agenda. They believe that violence affects the agenda and affects the worldview as they see it. That's where they're coming from. They're not looking to convince anybody by way of their words and deeds. They're looking to convince people, sure, people that will join their movement, but the enemy is to be dealt with violently. I don't want my gun missing when those guys come calling.
All right, I just wanted to mention something, Phil. You said that, I got a little sidetracked. Let me address your point. When you say you want to have your gun when those guys come calling, what does that mean?
I don't like the idea of a society being unarmed when people like the neo-Nazis are running around.
Well, I don't have any love for neo-Nazis. My political and spiritual, indeed, my entire life is devoted to everything that is completely the opposite of the neo-Nazis. And yet I can't agree with you that I want to have everyone armed to the teeth. All that's going to do is, I think, promote a kind of an Armageddon.
No, I won't argue with you.
I'm glad you're not going to argue with me, because it's such a futile thing arguing with people who are gun people and are in favor of a gun, because you never really get it. You never get that you don't solve anything with violence. And
now, look, Dean, did you, you know, are arguments like this wasted when I say that the Nazis in World War II were dealt with violently and it was very successful, and I doubt that anybody that walked out of a concentration camp after being freed by the victorious Allies ever really considered violence to be a bad thing?
Phil, I'm not. I don't think I'm talking about Nazis, although you are, and you're preoccupied.
I'm not preoccupied. This is the guy that went into this Sikh temple.
Well, but you're making it a bigger issue.
No, I'm not making it. How am I making it?
May I finish what I'm saying?
Yeah, but how am I making it a bigger issue?
Because in the overall, you're missing the overall. That's the problem. You're missing the overall. The overall is that a society that deals with its problems violently is more often than not a society that can't be brought back from the brink. And that's what I'm trying to fight desperately, to bring our country back from the brink.
And to bring our country back from the brink of what, exactly?
A full-scale civil war where everyone is armed and every problem is dealt with violently, and we're living in a Mad Max future. And
so the idea that people have guns automatically means that everyone is turned into a criminal by the magical gun?
What?
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying the minute you put a gun into someone's hand, suddenly they become a criminal. It's like the gun. I wrote an essay about this a few years ago.
Phil, you know, you're going to get into your writing career. I want to stick to the point here.
This is a point. All right, forget about my writing career. My opinion was this, that a gun is viewed in our society as some kind of a magic talisman that makes people violent the minute they put their hands on it, and that we need to stay away from it because it's bad mojo and bad voodoo.
Well, I think that's very racist, okay?
No, I didn't mean it racist. I didn't mean it that way.
Well, you're using terms that I think... Like, let me say something, Phil, that I think everyone can relate to. Everyone in your audience can relate to this, whether or not they are in favor of guns or whether they're against them. And that is, right now, our country has a unique opportunity. We can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. We can snatch life from the clutching claws of death. Right now, the country is preoccupied with the Olympics that are happening in London, England, and the country is preoccupied with the there was one other event that
the Mars lander, Curiosity.
Yeah, the Mars lander. While the country is, and rightfully so, enjoying two marvelous celebrations. I'm going to have to go liberal on you and tell you that I've got some problems with the Mars mission, taking money away from needed resources. But I will tell you that I believe we have a great opportunity here, and the opportunity is to get some real anti-gun legislation on the federal level passed that's got teeth in it that can save lives. And
how are you going to do that? The country is opposed to that.
The country right now, Phil, is preoccupied with the Olympics and with the Mars mission. And
all right, so in other words, you want to sneak it in the back door?
No, I'm not saying that. I am simply saying that those of us that are politically motivated and those of us that are politically focused will have an opportunity to get some real anti-gun legislation passed for the first time in a long time. And
but how do you know that the politically aware people are not pro-gun?
I'm going to say this with as much respect as I can. I doubt it very much. When it comes to this kind of an issue. And when it comes to the cultural distractions that we have right now, I think those who are anti-gun, who are progressive agenda people, are going to be able to get some legislation written right now.
All right, Dean Wheeler with us here from Northern California, the Northern California Holistic Center. Our number is 877-876-7445. When I talked to Dean about this before the show, I said, you know, this doesn't sound like a very, this doesn't sound like a plan that's on the up and up. Now is the time, he says, to get real anti-gun legislation passed, anti-gun legislation with some teeth in it, while the country is distracted by the Olympics and by the Mars mission. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me from the Northern California Holistic Center is Dean Wheeler as we talk about gun control and gun control legislation. Now, Dean, I got to hand it to you. I'm telling you, I think it takes some moxie, because I just don't think the American people are in the mood for a conversation like this. But I have to hand it to you for bringing it up.
I don't agree with you, and I'm more committed now than ever before. This is not something to take lightly. I'm shocked at President Obama. I'm shocked at many of the traditional leaders that we've looked to lead a progressive agenda, and they're not doing anything other than kowtowing to a very reactionary sentiment in this country. You want to know why we have the rise of right-wing militias? Because the conservative Tea Party, and I'm not blaming the Tea Party. Understand, I'm not blaming the Tea Party. I don't want anybody to think I'm blaming the Tea Party. But the Tea Party's rise brought on these right-wingers who decided to solve their problems with guns.
And but you're not blaming the Tea Party.
No, I'm not blaming the Tea Party. That's not blaming the Tea Party. That's simply saying that the Tea Party's rise, the popularity of the Tea Party, and the fact that people were joining up and everything that they, I don't know what they represent. It's mostly, I understand that it's economic, although a lot of them look very strange.
What would you say to them when they say that you look strange? You know,
because I happen to be a progressive who believes in holistic healing. I suppose we all look strange to people like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you meditate and you have Native American festivals at your home. I mean, that whole thing is kind of kooky, too. It's very, I'm not saying it's there's nothing dangerous about it. And I don't think there's anything dangerous about the Tea Party. I think more than anything else, there are extreme expressions of people in every movement.
Well, that's a very comfortable way. See, that kind of excuse really needs to stop and stop now. I'm getting so tired of that. I'm getting so tired of that. To hear people say, oh, we have extremes in every movement. When are we going to have the guts to say what we need to say and to come out and say that the Tea Party has people in it who belong in a jail cell? You know, and
well, you said that you were not blaming the Tea Party for what happened in Milwaukee.
I am not, and I would never. I would challenge anybody to prove how I'm doing that.
But all we've been talking about here is the Tea Party. We're talking about anti-gun legislation that you say you can, excuse me for putting it this way, Dean, sneak by the American people.
No, I did not say sneak by at all. No, I did not say sneak by at all. No, I did not. I said,
What did you not say that you and the progressive voters of this country will see your way clear to getting this legislation passed? Because in times like these, when we've got an Olympics and when we have the Mars lander, then only progressive people pay attention.
I said involved voters who tend to be progressive, yes. And I also said, now that's very interesting, that was a propeller-driven aircraft flying right over my home. And do you know who flies propeller-driven aircraft? The FBI. Do I think the FBI is spying on me? No, I don't. I don't. But there are a lot of my neighbors and a lot of my friends who say, a propeller-driven aircraft flying at that altitude over someone's home is the FBI. I am not paranoid. I am simply pointing that out to you.
You're not paranoid. We stopped the entire conversation. All right, our number is 877-876-7445. Dean Wheeler on the line with us here. We're talking about... let's get back to what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is this idea that that you can have... And by the way, folks, I just saw this new... I'm sorry to interrupt this, Dean, but what did I say to you guys yesterday about psychopaths? That psychopaths are too involved with themselves, too into power, too into control... I told you this guy in Milwaukee was a psychopath, in my opinion, which is different from the guy in Aurora who's psychotic, who's mentally disturbed, different from Jared Lee Laufner, psychotic disturbed. But psychopaths, because they're so into control, oftentimes take their own lives. They kill themselves because that's their way of controlling the time and the place of their own death. We can call them cowards if we want to, because maybe it makes us feel good after they die. But they consider themselves to be the ultimate victor in that situation, because they killed themselves. And now police believe that Wade Michael Page, responsible for killing half a dozen people Sunday at the Sikh temple outside Milwaukee, died after shooting himself in the head. We still have not identified anyone else in the shooting except him. We also have not identified a motive, but he died after shooting himself in the head. Dean?
Well, Phil, let me just say something. I don't know why you would bring that up, because that proves that, you know, no matter how many guns you had at that temple on that day, he was going to wind up killing himself. And I think the argument can be made, and I'm not making it necessarily, but I think the argument can be made that if you waited, and I'm not saying wait so that people die, I'm saying you didn't necessarily have to kill him, because he was going to shoot himself.
In the meantime, before he shot himself, he was shooting other people.
He was shooting other people, but we don't know the point that I'm making. Yes, he was shooting other people, and he needs to be arrested for that. But you're not going to necessarily kill him, because he's going to kill himself. The only job the police officer has to do is to arrest him.
And the only job? The guy's heavily armed. He's a suicide case. It could be suicide by cop. You don't know what he's going to do. He already killed one cop.
I understand that, but I have to tell you something, Phil. I'm a progressive, and so what I'm about to say may upset you, and it could upset some people in your audience. But as a progressive voter, and as someone who believes in the country and what it can be, I don't know that it's necessarily something that we shouldn't expect when a police officer dies, because police officers, in many ways, when they wake up in the morning, that is part of their job description, to die.
And no, it isn't.
Oh, you're a cop now. Is that what you...
Are you a cop?
I can tell you I was arrested by quite a few police, Phil, in my day. I was arrested. I was incarcerated. I had a lot of contact with police.
But you're not a cop. Okay.
I said I was arrested by a lot of cops.
That doesn't make you a cop. And cops want to go home at night. Cops want to survive. They don't want to see their day as one in which, well, looks like another day where I could die.
Well, how do you know? Are you a cop? No, you're not.
And neither are you. So why don't we just can that? I don't give a damn how many times you've been arrested, Dean. If I were you, I wouldn't be talking all that much about that.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because you've been arrested for domestic violence, for battery on women. You've been arrested for heroin. You've been arrested for heroin dealing.
And that was many years ago. I brought that up to illustrate a point about how far I've come.
All right, but the point that I'm making is the following point. I'm not sending a cop as a citizen, as a taxpayer, and therefore as the employer of those police. I'm not sending those guys out there with the express idea, hey, you know, today may be the day for you, man, because you got to throw your body in front of a bullet and take one for society. That's not what I want from my police. That's not what the citizen wants. I want that guy to come back home. I want him to kill bad people if he has to.
Well, yeah, I don't think you get it, Phil. Like I said, I've been in court. Yes, I was violent toward women a long time ago.
In other words, you were violent toward women a long time ago, so we're going to forget that, but your memory is pretty fresh when it comes to dealing with cops.
Well, you know, you got an answer for everything, Phil.
No, Dean, what we wanted to do tonight is talk about gun control, and I still want to keep the subject on that particular tack, all right? Our number is 877-876-7445. We'll come back and take some phone calls with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center.
Do I not get a chance to respond?
You can respond when we come back after the break.
Well, you've just said a lot of things there that I think have put me in a very bad light, especially bringing up my heroin dealing. And I really do want to respond.
Okay, that's fine, and we will when we come back, Dean.
All right.
877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here with Dean Wheeler, and we'll be back with more after this.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and we're talking with him about, you said, Dean, this is a perfect time for the federal government to get gun control laws passed because, hey, guess what? Everybody's distracted by the Mars lander and by the, what is it, by the Olympics.
I did not say, you're making it appear as if I'm trying to slip something by people. I'm not doing that. You know, and Phil, I really find it interesting. I'm trying to ban guns, and you are in favor of guns, and you cast me in the light of someone who is going to hurt people. I'm not out there hurting anyone. I'm not at a Tea Party. And
you just told me the Tea Party has got nothing to do with the violence.
Well, I'm not saying the Tea Party per se, but I didn't say the Tea Party has anything to do with the violence. But
well, then why did you say you're not the Tea Party?
I said I'm not the Tea Party because I am not prone to...
Yeah, you know what, sir? With all due respect, Dean, I think what you're doing is you're trying to draw the Tea Party into this, okay? And I don't think that's right. 877-876-7445. We'll go to a phone call here on the Phil Henry Show, and we've got Lloyd calling in. Now, this is the gentleman. You wanted to put your grandchild on the air. Is that right, sir? You want to put your grandkid on the air?
I wanted to call your program tonight, and I wanted you to talk to my 5-year-old grandson about the problems of guns. And I wondered if you wanted to talk to him.
No, I don't.
I think that'd be a wonderful thing. I think it'd be wonderful.
No, I don't think it'd be wonderful. I'm not putting a 5-year-old to talk about guns on this show.
Well, and why not?
Because this is an adult topic, that's why.
I think we need to hear from children and to hear about the violence that they're afraid of. That's my feeling exactly, sir. But not because I agree with you, Mr. Wheeler. I want to bring my grandson on the program to talk about how he's afraid of the bad man who can hurt him. And he wants his grandpa to have a gun. I'm sure that that's what you put into his head, but I'd like to hear from children who are scared of the guns. And they're scared of the guns. Is that what I heard you say, a grown man? I did, yes, I did. And I'm using a child's colloquial way of speaking.
What is your name, sir, the gentleman with the grandson?
My name is Lloyd. Phil, I've been on your program many times.
Okay, this is Dean. Why don't you guys talk to each other about this? You know,
well, I didn't call in to debate this man. I simply said to your screener that I wanted to put my 5-year-old grandson on the air and to talk about how he wants his grandpa to protect him from the bad people. And I don't doubt that you love your grandson very much, sir. But I should hope that I do. I don't doubt that at all, sir. I'm only saying that it is traditional when you bring a child onto a talk show or you bring a child onto a television show, when you bring a child that's as young as 5 years old, it is traditional, it's usually, to speak out against the ownership of weapons
and to speak out against things like war and so on. So I don't quite know what you're getting at here. And I'm not getting at anything.
What does that mean, Dean?
Well, I just said I think it's traditional when we hear children. You don't understand? No, I know what you're saying, that you've heard commercials on TV where the child will say, the child will say, I'm against war, right? Yes. So I don't think there's anything to be gained from having a child on the air that talks about his being in favor of guns. And
all right, I don't understand that point of view. You know, if a kid, you know, I don't want to have the kid on my show. I don't care whether the kid is talking in favor of guns or against guns. I'm not going to have that kind of propagandizing on my show.
Oh, you call it propagandizing for me, but what about, well, in this sense, I agree with you, Phil.
Yeah, but if you had somebody on that was against guns, a little five-year-old kid, you know, and by the way, kids can't be for or against anything. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. They're being induced by adults to speak some bull crap. And I'm talking about it on right and left. I've seen it on the left where these little kids are against war. I've seen it on the right where they use children to further the pro-life agenda as if that's any better. I think manipulating children politically is a disgusting, disgraceful thing.
And so that's what you're accusing me of, sir? Hold on. Is that what you're accusing me of, sir?
Sir, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm saying simply...
I am. I'm doing that. Well, you know what? I'll get... is the host there? Is the host there?
The host is here.
Are you accusing me of using my grandson, who I love more than life itself? Oh, God, here we go. Who said that, please?
All right, let's not have an argument.
No, who said that? I said it. And what does, oh, God, here we go mean? Well, it sounded like you're going to start to blubber. I'm not blubbering for any liberal left-wing reason. I'm blubbering for a grandson that I love more than life itself. Do you understand that concept, sir? I should hope that I do, sir. I have a daughter of my own. I didn't say a daughter, did I? I said a grandson. What difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference to me. A boy is raised up to be the strength of his family. A girl is a girl. And
all right, what are you talking about? You guys either stick to the point or we're moving on, okay? 877-876-7445.
My point is this, quite simply, that my grandson, I don't like what you're saying, and I thank you very much. I hope...
All right, very good. 877-87. You got to hang your phone up there, sir. Gentleman Alhambra?
Told me that he didn't want to do...
You got to hang your phone up, sir.
Oh, God.
Hold on. Got to hang the phone up there, sir.
I don't care. He sounds like one of these left-wing queers. You know, and my feeling was queers need friends.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
You didn't hang your phone up.
I beg your pardon, sir.
All right, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. Mr. Wheeler is talking tonight with us about the rare opportunity we have to pass anti-gun legislation because people are preoccupied with the Olympics and the Mars landing. Do you think that that is entirely honest?
I don't understand your question, Phil.
Do you think it's an entirely honest thing that you're doing, wanting to pass legislation...
I thought you were asking me about the way you characterize what I said, and if you were to ask me how you characterize what I'd said, I'd say that it was, I don't think it was very honest. I think it was very perfunctory. But that's not what you're asking me, right?
No, that's not what I'm asking you, but what was wrong with the way I said that?
Well, it was very perfunctory. I don't think it came across as understanding my feelings on this. Number one, Phil... I believe that the American people are a wise people, but I think an involved electorate is even more wisest. And I feel that those of us who don't care about sports, and I don't really care, and I don't care about Mars and all of that, it's really boring to me. So this is when we can get involved in things such as this land, this anti-gun legislation.
All right, let me talk to another caller here, 877-876-7445. Dean Wheeler on the line with us here from Northern California and the Northern California Holistic Center. And here is Marilyn. Marilyn, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. How you doing?
Hello, Phil. Really enjoying your program this evening. Mr. Wheeler.
Hi, this is Dean Wheeler.
Yes, I've heard you on Phil's show before. My name is Marilyn. I am pre-surgical transgender. You might think, from my transgender status, that I am a liberal. And I would say that in many instances I am, but not when it comes to protecting our society, protecting our families and our homes and our persons. Then I am very much an advocate of our right to bear arms. And I wondered how you felt about that.
You say that you're pre-surgical. Are you LGBT?
I don't necessarily affiliate myself with these labels. I only do so that people can understand who they're dealing with. I am pre-surgical. I'm transgender. I am a woman. I still have a man's body for the most part. I'm scheduled for surgery this fall, and I am looking very much forward to being a full and complete woman.
Are you going, when you say you're transgender, are you going, as they say, whole hog, or are you going bacon?
No, I'm going whole hog.
You are? Okay.
What does that mean, whole hog or bacon?
He's using a very antiquated liberal. Whole hog means I'm having the full genital replacement. Bacon is when you hold on to your male genitalia, but you have all the other procedures done.
I've never heard of that before.
Yes. Well, see, that's what it proves, that you're not clued in.
I think Mr. Henry's done a very good job here this evening, Mr. Wheeler, in articulating what a lot of American people feel.
Let me just ask you, I'm not very comfortable talking to someone who would be ordinarily a political ally of mine. Are you sure you're whole hog?
Am I sure? What did you say?
Are you sure that you're whole hog?
Am I sure that I'm whole hog?
What is hog?
I didn't say it. I said a hog.
Oh, whole hog.
Yes. But you see, you have what is a what's called the liberal lazy glottal, the liberal lazy glottal effect, or the lazy back of the tongue, where you can't articulate a word because you simply don't have the testosterone to drive into the musculature of your tongue.
I've been told that. I don't believe there's such a diagnosis.
Oh, God.
Okay, I don't know what either one of you are talking about. Okay,
he, she, it.
He, she, it.
Oh, now I'm a he, she, it because why? Because I'm not, a part of your liberal physiognomy, or the liberal physiognomy that you see for this society. Is that it?
Hold on. What is the lazy liberal glottal, or the lack of testosterone?
Oh, it's something that I've only recently learned of, where liberals have so little testosterone they cannot drive it up into the tongue, and so they wind up saying, instead of, for instance, the word hawk, they'll say home.
I don't recognize that condition at all.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Mr. Henry. And when I was talking here with Mr. Wheeler, I could hear him saying, are you going home, home? Are you home, home? And the laziness. And I didn't say that I was lazy. I said I don't like sports and I don't like space. It's boring. And
oh, boy, the longer you talk, the more you're getting on my nerves.
Yes, and he's getting on my nerves. And I am transsurgical. I'm going to be a woman. And yet what little manhood I have left, he's driving it crazy.
Oh, okay, so you still have manhood. See, that to me, you're not a full-fledged whole hog. You know.
Well, don't talk for a minute, Dean. Just don't talk.
Yeah, he's bugging me. And
just don't talk. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more of your phone. Thank you very much, Marilyn.
Thank you, Phil. I can't stand it.
All right, 877-876-7445. I never heard of the lazy liberal glottal, not enough testosterone driving energy into the musculature of the tongue, blah, 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 whatever the hell. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line here is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and I understand that you need to wrap up because you have some kind of an event going on. Do we still have that? Do you have that event going on now?
Phil, we have, yeah. My wife is, as you know, Phil, we have a couple of times a week, we have a local Native American council, and we do a peace celebration, and we can move out to the I'll move out to the veranda here and see if we can have a little bit better conversation here. I don't want to interrupt them, as I'm sure you understand, but by the same token, I want to be able to for you and I to hear each other. Let's see if I can close the door there. Close the door there. All right, Phil. I think that what needs to be said here is that transgender that I was just talking to, I can't believe that she would betray me. I'm a liberal, and she's transgender, so why is she talking guns? I don't get it.
All right, 877-876-7445. Here is Gary. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Gary?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I think it's
I'm fine. Thank you.
A good thing for children. You know, depending on their age, hell, they should be shown how to use and operate weapons. Because of saved lives, you know.
Have you been drinking? Have you been drinking, sir?
I think it'd be smart because if you kept a gun and you keep
it smart to drink.
Excuse me.
Do you drink and you?
Let me ask the questions, please. So you think that kids should be taught gun safety? I don't disagree with you, Gary. It's just that I didn't want to have a kid on the radio with me.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm not a
Gary,
kid.
Hi. This is Dean. Gary, this is Dean Wheeler. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm 44 years
old. You've been drinking tonight, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I'm actually in the hospital right now, having a back situation. I got a back.
Having your back? Right.
Yeah.
But you've been drinking, haven't you? Been drinking?
No, yeah, I haven't been drinking at all. I don't drink. Not at
well,
all.
Then why do you sound?
Maybe the gentleman's on. Maybe he's on pain medicine.
Are you on pain medication?
I do have a pain patch on my back. It's not that much.
Okay. I would not want you to go out. You know, obviously you're in the hospital, and that's good. You're having surgery, because yeah. I wouldn't want you going out with your pain patch on and half of a hospital gown with a gun.
No,
the police would think you're crazy.
I just think it's good for children to understand that some guns are hammerless guns. And they could kill a friend not knowing these things. They
should
be informed on what these weapons are, and when they get to the proper age, if you do
But I just think that guns scare children, and they want to have peace.
No, but this gentleman is saying having gun safety for children. If you have guns in the home, you're gonna have gun safety.
Oh, well, I don't relate to the whole idea of guns in the home. But I'm just saying to Gary, if he's in the hospital right now, Gary, I want you to be in the hospital. I don't want you wandering out into the night in a hospital gown with a gun. That's all I'm saying.
No, I don't have a pistol. I don't have a shotgun. I don't have no gun like that.
You don't have your pistol?
I don't have any.
Where are you? What state are you in?
Well, I'm in
what are you asking him?
I'm in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, you're in Tampa. All right. Now, that's a state where I just read a very interesting article about a man that got his face eaten off.
Okay, that's a big...
wasn't going to stop that.
Oh, a gun wasn't going to stop that? A gun wasn't going to stop that, huh? If somebody come along sooner, they would have blown that guy's head off. Maybe that poor man wouldn't have suffered so.
Well, what are you talking about? Anybody that's going to eat someone's face isn't afraid of a gun, don't you think, Gary?
Are you talking about it was a dog eating a man's face?
No, it was down there in Miami, Gary. Remember that guy, that crazy bastard on the causeway down there? You didn't hear about it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
Mr. Henry, I'm saying that you're not going to stop a guy like that with a gun.
Yes, you are going to stop a guy like that with a gun. You're going to blow his head off. That's the end of that problem.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Bye-bye.
He's not going to be afraid of it.
Who cares if he's afraid of it or not? The idea is to kill the guy.
He's standing back on
Gary, we have to let you go because it sounds like you don't talk very clearly.
Well, you're not talking too clearly either, Dean. Gary, I'm going to let you go, man. I want you to get some rest. I think you're I think you're right about having those children learn the proper gun technique. Get some rest tonight. There's Gary and Tappy's getting ready to have some surgery.
I don't think he was talking very clearly.
Are you listening to yourself?
Am I listening to myself? I'm on the radio with you. What does that mean?
I mean, you know, when you get off the air, listen to tapes of this, because you're about as clear as mud, as the saying goes. You're.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that the way you're speaking, Dean.
Well, I'm in a defensive mode, Phil. I'm talking about getting gun control, and I'm watching the Olympics, and I'm watching a Mars landing, and it's scaring me.
Ooh, you're creeping me out, man.
Well, I'm going to go back inside and see if Emerald's done yet with the... Emerald, honey, are you done yet with the...
All right, we're gonna let you go then, okay?
No, hold on. I want Emerald to... Emerald, Mr. Henry is saying that I sound like, you know, all wimpy and weird and everything. And I told him how weird it is to have the Olympics. What are you doing? She's setting fire to my... Why are you setting fire to my clothes? She's setting fire to my favorite leisure suit. Damn you to hell. Damn you to hell.
Okay, thank you. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, let's take a break. And on the other side, we got some Olympics to talk about and other news here. Good Lord. She's setting fire to my leisure suit. Good for you, ma'am. Very good. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
On the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they won't, and they don't. Now, we're giving away at the end of this month, we're giving away one free year of a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website, thousands of hours of downloadable full radio shows going back over a decade, and this is radio satire at its finest. This is radio humor at its finest. You must get a backstage pass. It's thousands of hours of enjoyment. You'll also be able to access our brand new, and thank you very much, Adam Fry, our Adam Fry Milwaukee Lion podcast collection. The Milwaukee Lions play-by-play by Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. That is also available there. And we have so many other features that can be yours with a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So pick it up as soon as you can. Coming out tomorrow is going to be episode 27, or what is it, bud?
It's the 28, I think.
Episode 28 tomorrow of our free Phil Henry podcast, which I think might be a Milwaukee Lion game. I'm not sure. So that's going to drop tomorrow at philhenryshow.com. Just hit our podcast banner. Open line here. We wanted to get to Jody here in New York City, calling tonight. Jody, you had called me last week to talk about this issue having to do with Susan G. Komen, and it's in the news right now.
Yes, Phil, it's in the news right now, and I saw that it was exactly as I predicted. I spoke to you last week about it, if you remember.
No, I remember talking to you. I don't remember what the actual...
Well, I said that I'm not going to, and there are millions of American women that are not going to stand for Susan G. Komen and the Susan G. Komen Foundation. We are not going to stand for them not funding Planned Parenthood. It doesn't matter what these, senators think, these right-wing senators. I don't know who the man was that was behind the... behind this split between Susan G. Komen and Planned Parenthood.
I forget his name, but it was a senator who was investigating Planned Parenthood for some very benign reason. There wasn't any, and it was a political investigation.
It was absolutely a political investigation, Phil. And what he was able to do, he was able to suspend the funding of Planned Parenthood from Susan G. Komen. But in the process, what he did was he forced a change of leadership at the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and we think maybe now we have someone who is going to be friendly to the rights of women. But I can tell you that the Susan G. Komen Foundation is currently
is currently on notice from millions of American women. Don't you ever take the advice of some man who happens to be a United States senator or a congressman or I don't even know what he does. And don't you ever take his word on something and in the process try to destroy one of the greatest tools, one of the greatest resources that women have had in the history of this country. We are watching you now.
All right, Jody, the story here, the president and the founder. By the way, would you mind telling me, what's your last name?
No, not at all, Phil. My name is Jody Brooks.
Okay. Are you involved in any...
I've been socially active in women's issues for a long time. No, I'm not professionally. I've been a school teacher. I'm retired now.
Okay. The story here says that the founder of Susan G. Komen, Nancy Brinker, she is the founder of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. The president and founder are both stepping down from their roles, the nation's largest breast cancer foundation, according to an announcement of a major leader shakeup on Wednesday. The high-profile departure comes in the wake of continuing fallout from Komen's decision earlier this year to briefly end funding for Planned Parenthood. President Liz Thompson is going to leave Komen next month, and founder Nancy Brinker has long been the public face of the charity, will relinquish her chief executive role for a position focused on fundraising and strategic planning, according to a statement from the Dallas-based organization. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that Nancy, in the case of Nancy Brinker, even though she was the founder of Susan G. Komen, clearly lost her way. She doesn't understand women's rights. I think it's one thing to found an organization that wants to find a cure for women's diseases, such as breast cancer, but I think it's something else entirely to understand what's important for women and what are the resources that women need. And I always felt that, this may be a very harsh thing to say, but I always felt, Phil, that other than the fact that she founded the Susan G. Komen Foundation, that Nancy Brinker was dead weight.
Dead weight?
I always felt she was dead weight. I always felt that she, when she did what she did, which was essentially a rubber stamp ending support for Planned Parenthood, I had to really ask myself seriously the question whether this woman, Nancy Brinker, ever really knew anybody that had breast cancer, or was she just creating a fantasy in her own mind to sell to the public because she wanted to be someone's hero. And
well, that let's not talk that way, okay?
Well, no, I'm just saying it's speculation.
Yeah, but that's as the man said, that's some nasty speculating, you know. First of all, I don't want to talk that way. You may disagree with her. You may disagree with her politically, if you will, or maybe it's just a matter of public relations.
No, I don't think it was public relations. I think Nancy Brinker wanted to make a big statement about Planned Parenthood. She perhaps was positioning herself politically to be a, you know, perhaps run for public office or something. But whatever goodwill she earned from the women of America by starting Susan G. Komen, whether or not she actually knew anybody that had cancer, whether Susan G. Komen ever really existed, we don't know. I don't know that we'll ever know.
That's easy enough to figure out. I can't imagine that this organization got as big as it did without knowing that this woman existed.
I don't know, Phil. It's not my business to vet, as they say these days, these charities.
Well, I'm sure that this is a legitimate, at least the representation is legitimate. Whether or not this woman's politics are of your liking,
I don't think it's political.
Well, then what is it?
I think it is a personal philosophy of Nancy Brinker, who created, I'm not saying she did, but she might have created the character of Susan G. Komen to come up with a larger-than-life platform for herself to run for political office and eventually run for an office perhaps as significant as President of the United States, if not that, perhaps something of a cabinet level.
And this woman has no other talent in life than to concoct stories about friends or sisters or relatives that had cancer to that end.
Find it unusual that she all of a sudden out of the clear blue decides to rubber stamp severing the funding to Planned Parenthood Don't you find that very suspicious? What was her relationship with this senator that was investigating Planned Parenthood? Was this something intimate? Was this something more than just politics? Was it an intimacy based upon a woman seeking the approval of a powerful man? That's possible.
And like I said, that's some nasty speculating. Without any kind of evidence, I don't know how you can say that.
Well, Phil, if I had evidence, obviously we'd have it right on the table, you know, like the man said, as you said, like the man said, you know, pull it out and slap it on the bar and let's see who wins. That's what I'm saying.
And well, then why don't you present your evidence?
I don't say that there is. I'm simply saying there are millions of American women that want to know who Nancy Brinker is. What is she trying to pull with this Susan G. Komen? And does she really believe in women, or is she simply trying to do the bidding of a powerful man out of love or out of the desire to become someone more popular?
All right, so what you're doing here, Jody, just so I understand, you are publicly maligning Nancy Brinker. You got a problem with her.
No, I have no problem with her.
Well, yes, you do, because that's all you've been talking about.
No, I have no problem with her other than the fact that she stopped the funding of Planned Parenthood.
Yes, but that has been reversed. She's stepping down, so there need not be any more concern. Need there?
I don't know. As long as she's associated with this organization, I will never feel safe. Never.
All right, 877-876-7445. That's Jody Brooks. She's in New York City talking about Planned Parenthood. They got their funding back from Susan G. Komen, but the founder of Susan G. Komen, Nancy Brinker, is stepping down. Did Nancy Brinker ever really know anybody with cancer? Did she ever really have a relative with cancer? Is she making all of this up? Is she? Who is she? That is the question of my caller here. I know that we have a couple of people on the line. Harvey Wireman is going to weigh in with a legal point of view on this and others. 877-876-7445 on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our News and Information Hour coming up next hour as well. And don't forget, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Episode 28 of the Free Phil Henry Podcast tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Jody Brooke from New York City as we talk about the Susan G. Komen Foundation with a leadership shakeup. And this seems to me, Jody, that this is in response to an overwhelmingly negative backlash. And I guess a backlash is negative, so I'm being redundant there. But an overwhelmingly negative response to this ending of funding for Planned Parenthood.
There's no question about it, Phil, and we're gratified to know that our voices were heard. But we want to make sure that our voices continue to be heard. And I don't have a problem with Nancy Brinker. I just would rather she move out of the way. She founded Susan G. Komen. We thank her for that. We thank all of the women that pioneered these organizations and these resources for women. But when you outlive your usefulness, you've outlived your usefulness from the standpoint, just the standpoint of her running this.
Well, that was her organization, though.
I know it's her. It's not her organization anymore. She forfeited that organization when she stopped funding Planned Parenthood.
What does that mean?
I'm sorry, Phil?
What does that mean, she forfeited her organization? Nancy Brinker founded Susan G. Komen. What do you mean, she forfeited it?
When she rubber-stamped ending funding for Planned Parenthood, she forfeited her rights to claim her, if you will, her parentage of the organization.
Why do you say that? I mean, or how can you say that?
I can say it because she has no right to run that organization. We have to take that organization, and we've got to run it now. We can't let her run it. It was her idea. It was a good idea. But when she said that there's no more money going to Planned Parenthood, then that's when we had to say to her, then you have to go. And that's that. I don't know.
All right, 877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to go to Tom here. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Sir, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Hi.
The lady on your program tonight, forgive me, I forgot your name, ma'am.
My name is Jody.
Okay, Jody. I lost my wife 5 years ago.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And I have gone to every one of these Susan Komen events, and I have been very happy going to them and meeting people like myself who have lost loved ones. And Nancy Brinker, I don't know who she is, but I'm very grateful for her existence.
Sir, we all are.
No, but I'm very, and I don't think it's fair, really, to say what you've said. I, if she knew someone with cancer or if she didn't know someone with cancer, that's neither here nor there. The important thing is that she started this organization for women.
Well, sir, when you lost your wife, did your wife use the Susan G. Komen resources?
No, my wife did not use those. I don't know what she may be using now. She didn't use them then.
What do you mean what
she's using now?
Well, I don't know what she's using now.
Is your wife still alive?
The last time I saw her, she was alive, but I'll tell you something. If I had my say, I would have put her in the ground. See, what I'm...
Sir, I'm having a hard time. Hold on for a minute.
Did your wife have breast cancer?
Hold on.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Hold on, sir. Where... What... You said you lost your wife.
Yes, I lost her... It was 5 years ago, and I lost her in a... Well, it was a hotel in Boulder, Colorado. We'd gone for a convention, a conference of teachers, and that's the last I saw of her. Now, I know where she is now, and I can give you two words, Lyle Kluvam, Kluvam, C-L-U-V-A-M, Kluvam, and this is the man she lives with.
Oh, this is...
All right, so your wife didn't have cancer?
I didn't say that she did. I didn't say that...
What are you doing going to Susan G. Komen Foundation events?
I'm going to Susan G. Komen Foundation events to meet people like myself.
Yes, sir, but that's for women that died of breast cancer, or...
I understand that, but there are people there, real people. Real people, okay? Real people.
Yes, sir.
All right, okay. Tom, right?
Yes, it's Tom. Phil, please... Please understand this, that the world as we know it, Phil, is rapidly coming to an end. It says so in the Bible. The rapture had...
All right, 877-876-7445. Nice going, bud.
What?
That guy was a kook, you know.
Well, Phil, just to get back on track here, I think that what we're talking about is a need for women who are contemporary, women who understand women's problems, a contemporary view of women's problems. We need leadership like that. Nancy Brinker is not that.
All right, 877-876-7445. That guy was very humorous, though, because he said that he lost his wife. We come to find out that, you know...
It sounds like she had an affair or something.
Yeah, she ran off with a guy.
You knew that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she was talking about that. Well, then why wouldn't you tell me that, bud? Why wouldn't you tell me that?
You said not to over... You said when I put out a comment in a comment section...
And Phil, are you talking to someone?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jody. Hold on. Go ahead.
That you didn't want to have a lot of information, just the basics of it.
Yeah, you said Bunsen put a bet, so he lost his wife 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's not the basics. The basics would be he lost his wife, but it wasn't the cancer. She ran off with another guy. And he's going to Susan G. Komen for no reason other than the fact that he wants to meet people.
Yeah. Susan G. Komen is not a singles group, you know. I get very irritated when I see a lot of men at the meetings and at the races and they lost their wives. God bless them, and I understand that. But they're looking to mate women. And I get very impatient with that. And
well, I mean, these are guys, they looking to mate. What do you mean?
Well, I know they lost their wives, but they're also, oh, so what's your name? And, you know, where are you? And, oh, yeah, do you want to have a drink? Do you want to have a drink? Do you want a drink? I just don't like it. It makes me feel cheap. It makes me feel a little dirty, a little cheap. And Susan G. Komen is such an important organization for myself because I did lose someone very near and dear to me. I lost my sister, and she did die of breast cancer. She didn't run off with another guy. So when I go to these things and these men who, you know, they lost their wives, I understand that, but they come up to me and they'll say, oh, you know, what's your name? Where do you live? And do you want to have a drink? Do you want to have a drink? Everything's a drink, you know. And I feel dirty. I feel cheap. I feel like I need to go home and scrub off and wash off and, you know. So,
Okay. All right. I mean, well, I'm sorry that you had that experience. I don't think that's reflective of the organization. Okay. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Jody Brooks from New York. Let's go over here now to... it's Rudy. Rudy, how you doing tonight?
Phil, how you doing?
Good.
I wonder if the lady who was speaking tonight, she piqued my interest because she was speaking about the men that she has met there at the Susan G. Komen. Now, Phil will tell you that...
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time understanding the man.
You need to get off. I don't know what you're doing there, Rudy.
What do you mean, what I'm doing here?
It sounds like you've got a Bluetooth that's a little too close to the mouthpiece.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's way better.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'm sorry. The point that I wanted to make was that she was speaking about the people at the Susan G. Komen. And,
can you hold on, Rudy? We have to take a break.
Can I? Yeah, okay.
Jody?
Yeah, I can hold on still.
All right. Jody Brooks with us here from New York. We've talking about the Susan G. Komen Foundation. They've had a leadership shakeup, and Jody is saying essentially she's glad it happened and that the founding members of that organization need to go, and Susan G. Komen better not betray her or the millions of American women that it betrayed already again, or there's going to be some real trouble. All right. I think I essentially gave you the point there. Phil Hendry, she'll be
Phil
right back.
Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with, we got Jody Brooks on the line, and we have Rudy Canoza who's joined us here. All right, Rudy, we got you off that Bluetooth, although I know you're traveling, but you've taken a little bit, you've adjusted it, so I think we can hear you. We were talking here about the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and Jody, you were very clear that Nancy Brinker and others that had anything to do with the defunding of Planned Parenthood need to go. Need to, like, out of the organization, even though Nancy Brinker is staying in the organization.
No, I think they need to leave, and I know millions of American women feel the same way. They stabbed us in the back. This is a betrayal that I don't think you can very quickly forgive, Phil, because Nancy Brinker started this organization, and we gave her the goodwill, and we gave her our support. And we gave her the benefit of the doubt and believed her story about someone that died from cancer or whatever it was she came up with, because we felt that her organization was worthwhile. So we stuck it out with her, and we donated, and we supported Susan G. Komen, and Nancy Brinker's story became a part of the story of the American woman. Who knows whether she's telling the truth or not? But it didn't matter to the rest of us because we had this great organization, or so we thought. Then she comes along, and because she wants to impress some politician, or she's feeling her power or something, she decides on a whim, out of what I think was just a sadistic streak and wanting to show her power and her control, she decides to stop funding a Planned Parenthood. And in the process... really sacrificed the goodwill of millions of American women. That's why she's got to go. We don't want her around anymore. I don't want to, you know, and I said something in this interview I did with WWRL Radio in New York. I said that we don't even want to smell it, you know, and it was taken the wrong way. And
I'll say that would be taken the wrong way. Of course it would be taken the wrong way. That's a very insulting thing to say.
Well, it was a very insulting thing that she did. But we don't want to smell it. We don't want to...
All right, Rudy Canoza back with us. Rudy, thank you. So go ahead, sir, and make your statement.
Okay. First of all, Phil, I enjoy your program. I appreciate you giving the forum to this the lady from New York. I come from a South American country, Argentina, which has made great strides in human rights and has made great strides as well in the rights of women in the last, to say, 30, 35 years.
Absolutely. That's ever since the deposing of the dictatorship.
Yes. We established our democracy in Argentina. We're very proud of that.
As well you should be, sir.
Thank you. And we're very proud, too, to have these rights. The women of Argentina, though, I think understand that there are a great many women, and there's different points of view. And some women are in favor. I don't say I agree. I don't say that I don't agree. But some women are in favor of abortion. They are not in favor. They are not in favor of abortion. And they must be respected.
Well, I don't think those women are thinking clearly.
When you say the women are not thinking clearly, what do you mean by that?
I don't think they understand. I think they're under the influence of what we call a manocracy, a maleocracy. Really everything is from a male point of view. So the men are the ones that call the shots, and they don't have children, they don't have babies. And
I certainly agree with you that men don't have babies, and that is a physical reality. That, but I think that if you were to understand that,
you're trying to tell me something about me as a woman that you can't tell me because you're not a woman.
No, but you see, I think I understand women. And
I don't care if you do understand women. When you say you understand women, what do you mean? You know?
How could you understand women so much that you would know? I mean, I what you're saying on the surface is true.
What do you mean what he's saying on the surface? It's not true.
It very much is true.
You don't think there's pro-life women?
I think there are women that are told by men or controlled somehow by men or manipulated by men to hold a pro-life view. I don't think they necessarily believe that behind closed doors.
I want to say to you that men are not going to influence women, especially when it comes to in my country. Men can influence women a million different ways, and the same thing in your country.
Of course men influence women, but you can't get women to think politically against their better interests. You shouldn't do that. And women who give into that are really almost, you feel as if they deserve their fate. You feel any woman that gives into a man and says, well, I'll go ahead and I'll believe what my husband believes, you almost feel she deserves her fate, like any steer that's being led into a slaughterhouse that's first stunned and then cut up.
You're taking a lot for granted there. I think you're buying into a reality that may not be.
I agree with that because when you...
You're both men, you don't understand what you're talking about.
But let me say that. If I am a...
Mr. Canoza, I know who you are. I've heard you on the program, and I enjoy you very much, but you're not about to tell me that when you go, la-la-la, whatever you do...
No. I was not going to say the la-la. I would say to you that in Argentina...
I don't want to know about Argentina. Okay, I'm simply telling you in America and in Argentina, I'm telling you about women. Okay,
but if a man in my country,
see, you're very nervous because you want to get out your little la la, don't you? You want to say that, don't you?
Would you let the man say something? I mean, with all due respect, Ms. Brooks, you're not letting him say anything.
Yes, no, I'm not trying to manipulate you. I would never, but it is true that you know.
You're going to say in your country a man tells a woman that she's very beautiful by saying la la la.
Well, will you let him finish?
But you're right. No, you're right. But if I said la la, let's say woman la la la. You know, that's sexy. And
what was sexy about that? That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
It's not sexy, but I was trying to say that
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Just everybody hold on. If you don't mind, Jody, just hold on for a second. Slow down, Rudy.
Okay. Yes.
Slow down.
Okay. Yes.
Why were you going so fast there?
The lady was... She got me flustered, you know.
I you should be flustered.
No. I want to know. I respect women, you know.
Well, yeah, you respect women, but you wanted to say... Go ahead and say la-la now.
But my mouth is dry. I'm nervous. And
why do you want him to do that?
Because he's so nervous that he can't be charming. And that's why he's upset, because he realizes that I have taken him off his game. Is that true?
No, it's not true. I have nothing but respect for women, but I also know very fundamentally the strength of
Well, go ahead and say that. I mean, what is this thing you say in Argentina? It's la la la.
When you are in Argentina, you get for a woman to come by. I'm sorry, I have to slow down here. For a woman to come by, you will tell her she's sexy. You'll say,
Oh God.
I didn't do it good that time.
No, slow down. Jody, please, slow down.
Okay.
Slow down. All right, now, you see a beautiful woman walking down the street.
Yes. Thank you, Phil.
Okay, I'm your friend, Rudy. It's going to be okay.
Thank you, Phil.
I'm your friend, too, Rudy, but I know
that you're my friend, but you're making me nervous because you make so many good points that I don't know...
Slow down. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
All right.
You see a beautiful woman in a restaurant.
You know it's not going to work.
But I don't know.
Ms. Brooks, please.
I'm sorry.
You see a beautiful woman in a restaurant.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
And I see a beautiful woman in a restaurant. Then I don't, you know, go out there and stay. I can't do it. I go up to a beautiful woman in a restaurant.
You're very nervous because...
Ms. Brooks, she's nervous because you keep butting in, if you don't mind.
I apologize, Bill.
You're okay, Rudy. You're with your friends. Everything's okay.
Thank you, yes.
All right. See a beautiful woman in a restaurant? Go ahead.
I see a beautiful woman in a restaurant. I walk up to that beautiful woman in a restaurant, and I say...
Oh, my God.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with you?
I'm trying to go...
What is wrong with... Would you put her on hold?
Phil, I'm not...
Put her on hold.
I did.
So tired of people butting in. Rudy. Rudy, just calm down, man.
Okay.
What happened?
Nothing. I was not able to get the la la la. You know, when she kept talking, and I was trying to get the cow.
You're trying to get the cow to do what?
I was trying to get the cow to shut her mouth, and this cow wouldn't shut up. Every time she go there, and she's talking, this cow. And like a pig, like a cow, like a she went from pig to cow to pig. And I kept trying to tell this cow, would you just shut up? Just shut up, and she would not. Now I'm worried, Phil, because I don't think...
You're going to be fine, man. You're going to be fine. Just calm down. Now, beautiful woman, you're Rudy. You got it together, man. You've been doing this a long time.
It's true.
All right, man, you walk right up to her. Just start in with the rap. Don't start right away with la-la-la. What would you say to her?
Good evening. My name is Rudy, and you're very lovely this evening, and I can tell that there is only one way for Rudy to communicate with a beautiful woman such as you, and that is for me to say to you... What happened?
All right, you just need to get some rest or something.
Yeah, get Dr. Sandler on the phone.
Oh, don't get Sadler. That guy's a maniac.
You want to get Dr. Tanner?
An astronomer? I don't think so.
Oh, man, what happened to me?
You're going to be fine, dude. You're all kind of tripped out by this Jody lady. Let's take a break.
What are you taking a break for? Now, I'll never get a break. If you go to a break, I will never get... Now, please don't make me speak to the pig.
told me to speak to a cow.
Not- I'm not going to make you speak to her. We're going to come back, and you practice during the break, okay? Boy, he's freaking out. Robert, talk to him.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Rudy, man, I'm going to be on the line with you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back and try and fix Rudy. What
Truth
the hell is going on
is
there,
our
man?
Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We're sitting here talking with, on the line, we have Jody Brooks on the line. We also have Rudy Canoza on the line, and you're going to be talking to him, Robert, correct?
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let me put him on hold. Okay, where is Jody? Jody's over here. Jody, is that you?
Yes, Phil, right here.
Okay, we're going to let Rudy talk to Robert. And get back to your comments and your thoughts on Susan G. Komen, Planned Parenthood, the leadership shakeup. Cool?
Oh, yes. I would much rather talk about that than deal with some man's. I think so many men deal with this issue from a standpoint of sexual politics. Because, look, I was married, Phil, for 21 years to a very controlling man, a man that was every bit the macho man who thought that all the decisions would be made by him. And he was, as you would expect, he was very pro-life, although he didn't call it that. I don't think he really cared. He just didn't want me making any decisions having to do with my own fertility. When I finally left him and got married again, I married a man now. We've been married 12 years. He's a wonderful man, and he's a man that understands that the decisions having to do with fertility are going to be my decisions alone because it is my body. You can't separate the two. You can say that there's life growing in my body, but you'll never, ever be able to say that it is not in my body, and so you don't get to say anything about it. And if that means I've got to take Nancy Brinker and throw her, and I'm saying this figuratively, not literally, but throw her off a cliff or stick her in a car and put a lit gasoline rag in the gas tank. And
What is that? What kind of comment is that?
I'm saying it figuratively.
You're saying it figuratively? Okay, saying it symbolically?
Yes.
All right, well, what is that symbolizing?
Well, it's symbolizing the immolation of what Susan G. Komen used to stand for and obviously doesn't stand for anymore. So let's just burn that up and stick the charred remains in a body bag and throw it into in a hole.
Wow, that's a very violent image.
Phil, I don't mean it violently.
Well, it's a very violent image nonetheless. Whether you mean it violently or not, it's impossible for me to hear something like that and not hear exceedingly personal, I guess I would call it rancor there. Emily, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Jody Brooks. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I just wanted to make a few comments. I have been involved in, I guess, the kind of abortion debate for a very long time. I have spoken with dozens of women who have had abortions, and dozens of women who have contemplated abortions. I've been very involved on a very close personal basis. And I just want to say I really strongly disagree that to be pro-life is an issue that women would only say that if they're being coerced by men into saying that publicly. I think that's utterly ridiculous. I think that really to be pro-woman is to be
pro-life. I already know you're married.
What's that?
You're married, aren't you? Aren't you married? You're married, aren't you?
I am. No, I'm not even close to being married, no. But
Are you divorced? Are you divorced?
No, I'm not, ma'am. No.
Did you have a strong, controlling father?
Absolutely not.
Well, did you know your father?
Okay, that's getting a little invasive. Yes. What is the point of that question?
Ma'am, I have a completely normal, functional childhood that's completely irrelevant, and my viewpoints are all my own. If I can just get to my point here, you know, I know how abortion affects people, and I know what it does to women. I've actually seen a video of an abortion, which I strongly encourage anybody to do, if you really want to see what it does to women. Abortion, yeah. There is nothing
good
about abortion.
Darling, I've had three abortions. I've had three abortions, so please don't talk like you're giving me the word from the mouth, because I...
You've had three?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, don't interrupt the lady. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah. And, ma'am, I can't say how it would affect every person, but from my experiences and talking to a lot of people and just reading a lot of testimonies and seeing a lot of women giving their testimonies, abortion is so harmful on a physical level, an emotional level, a psychological level.
And you're telling this to a woman that's had three abortions. You're telling me.
And I'm not telling you this is your case. I'm telling you that this is the case of many, many women.
Tell you the case of many, many women is that they've had abortions and they believe in, and it doesn't bother them at all. I have had three. And I will say this to you, Emily, and I say this with all due respect, but I had three abortions and I went out. And I had a roast beef sandwich after the first one. I said,
"Well, what is your point?"
Well, in other words, I carried on with my life. I don't understand what she's saying. I had an abortion one day. Steve took me to the clinic. I had the abortion, and we went out and we got we had Chinese.
Okay.
Hello?
And like I said, ma'am, this is not, you know, this is not the case for everyone, but for many women,
okay.
And now I'm just going to talk about, you know, women in general, not necessarily your specific case.
All right.
Very many women.
What do you call that? I had a French dip sandwich.
So you had a French dip sandwich, so what?
I had an abortion, and then I went out and had a French dip sandwich and played pool, and it didn't matter at all.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, great. I want to hear what Emily has to say. Jody, I don't know, I don't know. Go ahead, Emily.
Okay. I just want to list a few effects that abortion has on women. And if it doesn't affect you, Jody, then you don't have to listen. First of all, on a physical level, abortion it is so damaging to women. First of all, it can, when the abortionist goes in with the instrument, instrument called the tenaculum, which goes in and pulls out the cervix.
Here we go. This is Lipton soup. I'm sorry, I'm just making some soup.
Would you please not make all the noise? The lady's trying to talk.
She told me that I didn't have to listen.
Go ahead, Emily.
Okay. When the abortionist goes in with the instrument, he can very, very easily rip the cervix. Inside of the uterus, the vacuum machine, which they use for suction or DNP abortion, is about 30 times more powerful than a home vacuum cleaner. Ma'am, if this is, you know, so...
No, I'm sorry. I had to take it down.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. Excuse me, I'm going to turn the fan off. And we're live here at the El Pacifico tonight, as we are each and every night. And if you're watching us on Phil TV in HD, we're also going to probably get into our front pages of the New York Times. It was interesting, before the show, during the during our pre-show rant.
Yeah.
I did what we used to call in our disc jockey days, I dropped the needle. I didn't drop the needle on a disc. What I did was figuratively drop the needle. I just went to the New York Times, and I knew that I wanted to look at August the 9th because that was the current date. But I also didn't know what year I was going for. I just went for 1977. And lo and behold, 1977, August 9th, was the day that the New York City Police Department put a call into the Yonkers Police Department and said to them, you know, I think we want to talk to David Berkowitz one more time because we've got a parking ticket issued to him for a car that matches the description of one that was in the area. And we want to interview him one more time, which is exactly what the NYPD then did on August the 10th. And by the early morning hours of August the 11th, 1977,
they got the Son of Sam.
That was who the Son of Sam was?
Yeah, David Berkowitz. They arrested him, yeah. And it was funny because I had pulled up this New York Times. I went, wow, there it is. You know, I knew I was in the range of the dates, and I went to the 11th. There it was, front page article. This guy had been loose in the city of New York for a year, for a full year, from July until August, a year and a month. He had been out terrorizing the people of New York. He had been writing letters. Jimmy Breslin got involved. The media got involved. At one point, they offered to, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking of the Zodiac, but there, I think there was a talk show or something like that that asked him to call in. It was a circus, man. So we're going to be looking at that when we get a little bit deeper into the hour. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show every night. Which we are showing right now. You can also, of course, access thousands of hours of archived material, the greatest satire of talk radio, probably one of the greatest, and I'm saying this with all humility, but I got to say it, probably one of the greatest radio shows ever. We're very proud of the efforts of our show over the years, and we invite you to get a backstage pass. Now, we have a podcast coming up. It's dropping today, sometime today, and that will probably be out of our Milwaukee Lion archive. So we've got stuff coming from the left, from the right, from down the middle.
Yeah, man, we're like that, a pincer movement.
Yeah, it's a pincer movement of radio.
Exactly. It's a pincer movement of radio. We're going left. We're going right. We're going down the middle. And it's there for you at philhenryshow.com. All right, 877-876-7445. Before we get into anything else, I would like to get on the line here with a young man, R.C. Collins, joining us from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California, and we were playing some Van Halen earlier, R.C., and you wanted to talk about that, huh?
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Henry. First of all, I wanted to say from all the cadets at Bradley Military Academy, we enjoy your show, and we thank you very much for you doing it and everything, because it's really a lot of fun, and we're happy to listen to it. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit, because I heard that you played Jump by Van Halen. We've been practicing that. We do have a band called the Cadets. It's just right now, it's me and Watson, who is the young junior cadet that you met the other night on the phone.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, well, he plays keyboard, and I want to be very clear about something, and I don't want to be offensive neither. But what I do want to say is we're not gay, but we do have a two-man group that's sort of like what that one group, the Pet Shop Boys, but we're not gay. And I wanted to make that statement.
Okay, all right, that's fine. You know, two-man band, is that supposed to mean you're gay?
Well, I mean,
what about Daryl Hall and John Oates?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about more contemporary, I guess. And
all right, so Tears for Fears and Pet Shop Boys, these are gay guys.
Well, I think if you look at the record, I mean, if you look at the evidence, and it is anecdotal, but it's pretty clear. And I don't have anything against gays or anything, and I know that the military code of justice is going to be changed for gays, but I don't want anybody to think we are. That's all.
Okay, nobody's going to think you're gay, and the more you talk about it, you understand, the more offensive it gets, you know, because it's.
Why is that?
Because it's like, you know, as Shakespeare said, methinks thou protesteth too much. And what he meant by that, before you ask me what he meant, because somehow I know you're going to ask me, he meant the more you say no you didn't, the more you sound like yes you did.
The more you say no you didn't.
In other words, the more you say I'm not gay, I'm not gay, I'm not gay.
Okay, what do you say? I mean, you better ease into this, Mr. Henry, and don't...
Don't tell me to... look, kid, I don't mean to disrespect you.
Please don't call me kid. I'm just asking you to ease into what you're about to say, because you're about to say that I sound like a gay.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying to you, don't keep saying it, because there would be people who would say, well, the more you say it, the more you sound like you... That's what you are. Look, why don't we get into the song, right?
Yeah, I just... I wanted people to know that it's going to be me singing and Watson's going to play the Casio, which also is a keyboard machine. And the song that we're going to do is Jump. And
You're the lead singer.
Yeah, I'm the lead singer. And our band is going to be at the Commandant's Ball, which will be one of the very first events of the senior season. Okay, and we will be inviting the young ladies from Belmontview, which is the all-female academy, which is up on Schuyler, and they're going to be our guest as they is, you know, for everything.
All right, these are the young ladies that generally come to the dances that you guys hold.
Yes, sir, and we go to their dances.
Okay, so this is Jump and RC, and your band is the Cadets.
It's not RC and the Cadets. It's just the Cadets.
Okay.
All right, Watson.
Uh-huh.
Go to the keyboard. Okay. 1, 2, 1, 2, yeah. Turn it up. Yeah. We're not that much. Yeah.
Shut up, man.
Yeah. Can you hear that, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, we can hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, 2, 3. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Commandant's Ball. I'm R.C. Carling. You know what? I get up, and nothing lets me down. You got it tough, and it's the toughest around. And you know, yeah, baby, just how you feel. You gotta go, whoa, whoa, with the punches, and then you're real. You see me standing there by the record machine.
Okay, RC?
It's not the first that you've seen.
RC.
Hold on, what?
Hold on. Turn it off, man. Please. Okay.
Don't shut up. Hey, that was pretty good, but... We got to work on that, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you do, because I was also hearing some, sounds like the...
That was feedback, Watson. I knew it was feedback, because the guy on the radio just said it was feedback.
I don't...
Yeah, it was. Was it feedback, Mr. Henry?
I can't say what it was. It sounded like there was a high-pitched something or other, you know?
Yeah, he said it was high-pitched. It's...
Right, only high-pitched, you said.
Yeah, why don't you... You know what? What a gay. You're a gay.
What did he say?
He said the only high-pitched thing was me singing. Well, yeah. I have delayed puberty, so that's what's going on with that.
All right, well, look at man, that was a very good effort, and we look forward to hearing more.
Which basically what that means is it blew chicken. Okay, that's fine.
Whatever, kid.
That was terrible.
Of course it was terrible. Of course it was terrible. But, he's singing into a phone, man.
Yeah, but how good could it be, man? That kid ain't going to play at a Commandant Ball. Why am I going to have him kiss a daughter?
Kiss the gunner's daughter?
Yeah.
Kiss a daughter. Wireman's going to have him kiss somebody's daughter. All right, we'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with our News and Information Hour here. Thanks to the Cadets and their version of Jump. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back. Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and this is our News and Information Hour. And I was talking to the guys about Van Halen because RC put us in mind of the summer tour that didn't happen, you know, and it was called off. It was supposed to, the Van Halen tour was supposed to at least go through the summer. I don't know, how long was it going to go?
That was going to go like a year or something.
No, it wasn't.
Well.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, but I know it's supposed to go in the summer.
Well, so what they did was they made the announcement, you know what, this sucks, we can't do it, and we're not getting along and we hate each other. Okay, fine, whatever. I mean, that to me was a statement of, I don't know. I don't know who talked to them, and I'm sure that they gave it their best. You would want them to say, you guys had a great run. We know that the band is done. We know you guys hate each other's guts, but you made this statement, you made this commitment to do this tour. Can't you suck it up long enough just to give this to the fans? And
they're probably all sick and tired of the fans.
What are you talking about, Van? They're not. What do you mean? Van Halen will never be sick of the fans. The fans gave them their power.
Yeah, they don't give a damn now about the fans or anything. All they want to do is, you know.
Yeah, what do you care, man? You're listening to Lil Wayne. You're listening to.
Shut up, man. Hey, what did I tell you, okay? Didn't I say the next time this happened?
I'm sorry.
No. I'm sorry ain't going to get it done. I ought to, by all rights, throw both of you bastards out of here. Don't look at... By all rights, I ought to throw both of you out of here.
Can I say something?
No, you can't say anything. You can't say anything. By all rights, I ought to kick both your asses out of here because I gave you warning after warning after... What I ought to do is fire you. That's what I ought to do.
I just want to say one thing.
Robert, if I have to say no, you don't get to say one more thing. One more time.
Your flag's open.
Well, what difference does it... Hold on. What difference does it make if my fly's open? Nobody can see it.
It was hanging out.
What are you doing? Look at it. I swear to God. All right, now. Van Halen broke up, and it was my feeling that they could have at least stayed together for the fans. That's, I think, where we last were. And then you said, Robert, what?
I said, they don't care about the fans anyway, so why even stay? They're not going to grow up, you know?
And then, Bud, you started in with Lil Wayne and your usual racism.
No, I didn't mean it.
Shut up. Now, I'm going to let you say something if anything creeps into it.
I just said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I apologize, Robert.
No.
I do, I apologize.
All right.
I just said that, well, I mean, I can't say anything about Jimi Hendrix because he's black.
You can say something about Jimi Hendrix. What are you talking about because he's black?
I thought maybe that would be a band that Robert would like.
All right, get out.
I didn't do...
Get out! Get out!
What do I do?
You too. You get out.
I didn't do nothing.
Get out, both of you.
Get out of here. All I said was...
I heard what you said, you stupid, dumb, redneck biker ass. Get out of here.
I ain't no redneck.
No, but you're an idiot too. Get out. And I'll decide later whether I fired you guys or not. Can I say that he likes Jimi Hendrix? He's black. So anyway, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, this was a tour that they might have, in my opinion, they might have continued doing, if not for any other reason than for the sake of the fans. They didn't do that, so that was the end of that romance. But I was talking to the guys, I said, you know, we were talking about Van Halen, they break up, and then I was thinking of other bands, and you know something, and this is, honest to God, this is the truth. Most bands, in my opinion, most bands that stay together for decades, I believe most bands stay together far too long. I think bands stay together far beyond the natural expiration date, if you will. Far beyond what they should have stayed together for. And an example is, I was talking to the guys off the break. The Who was a great band. I'm not really sure I know when The Who broke up. Am I alone here? And I think I know why it missed me, because The Who tried to stay together after they lost Keith Moon, and then they got the new drummer, and I forget the name of that guy, Kenny Jones, and that the band, okay, they were fine, I guess. And then they just sort of, like, there was no more Who. Now, maybe they had a farewell tour that I missed, but to me, that band just kind of just fell apart. Like a, I don't know, just like an old newspaper that you take out to read for the 9 millionth time, and it just, all of a sudden, it's just scraps, you know? So when you think of bands like the Beatles, as tragic as they're, and I'm not talking, this isn't John Lennon dying, I mean, they broke up 10 years before that, when they fell apart because of Yoko. Who cares, man? That was probably the best run, and that was it for the Beatles. It was perfect. It was great. And when they talked to those guys years later, and they said, do you think you're going to get back together? Do you think you're going to be? And they would be polite, and they'd say, well, you know, you never know. I remember there's a very famous interview with John Lennon during Monday Night Football, of all things, in halftime, and he's talking to Howard Cosell. He says, do you think you... He says, you never know. Well, you knew, and I knew, and anybody that heard that interview knew, that ain't going to get back together. Why would they, man? By then, music had completely changed. But we're talking the late 70s. Now we're in the, you know, country rock and the disco and new wave was hitting, and forget it. Another band that stayed together, and I'm not really sure they should have, and I guess maybe, and maybe now it's just interesting because they're a curiosity. I mean, who's ever really seen 70-year-old guys, you know, get up on stage and shred? And that's the Rolling Stones. That's just, that's almost like, it's beyond a caricature. Now it's, maybe it's breaking or blazing new territory. I don't know, you know. But to me, for my way of thinking, it's tremendous. All right, on the line with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. And by the way, we are, as I mentioned to you, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Backstage Pass gets you our live streaming video as it's happening right now. We are at the El Pacifico. If you're looking at a whole bunch of strange green screen stuff, it's just because that's what's loaded in, and it's pretty freaking bizarre. All right, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell joining us from Corona, California. How are you doing, Stephen?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good, Mr. Henry, and thank you for having me on your program. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to mention to you that I was a very big Van Halen fan, and I had gone to see them on the 84 tour, and I also was a very big fan of Van Halen when I went and saw them on the I don't know, 5150, I think it's 5150.
Was that the one with Sammy Hagar?
The one that had Love Walk In and I can't remember the name of that. When It's Love. When it's Love, if you know the song When It's Love.
Yeah, that's that I know that song. So that's the first album with Sammy Hagar.
And I like that album a lot. I liked it even more than David Lee Roth, and I remember when I told friends of mine, because I was in my senior year in high school, and I told friends of mine that I enjoyed that very much, and that put me way, way past being friends with them anymore, because they thought it was very, you know, sort of, I guess, you know, now the kids will say gay, but I think they just thought it was too, you know, I can't use the word, but sissy.
Yeah, no, it was, there was a definite sort of party feel that Van Halen had with David Lee Roth that became the art rock band, you know?
Well, I don't know what,
How do I say the art rock band? They became a band that, they became songwriters, as opposed to just rock and rollers.
Yeah, I mean, it was Sammy Hagar, and I told my friends, you know, that Sammy Hagar is the guy that did I Can't Drive 55, and he also did Bad Motor Scooter, and he also done all of those songs. And so I said to my friends, I said, you don't understand, Sammy Hagar, he kick out the jams, you know, and he can, you know, he's every bit as good as David Lee Roth, and I think that what he's going to do is make them better and everything, okay? So what happened was, and my friends are all, yeah, sure, and I said, I swear to God. And so now comes this album, and I put it on for my friends. We were riding around in my dad's car at the time. He had a good sound system because my father drove a big Buick Riviera at the time. And out come that song, you know, and then you close your eyes, Love Walks In, you know?
Yeah, Love Walks In.
Yeah, and it just was so, it was so sad because my friends were right. And it softened, everything softened on me. And from that day forward, I've never been able to get back my edge, because I knew that I had invested my reputation on Sammy Hagar, and that album come out and was soft and sweet, and now I was soft and sweet in the eyes of my friends, you know. And,
okay, well, all right, Steve, I hope you get that edge back, you know.
Well, I mean, you're going to leave me hanging with that? Oh, God.
I'm afraid I have to. Thank you. 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Okay, so now I'm really soft and sweet.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and online at philhendryshow.com. And we having some video problems here tonight. We'll let me just double check here and make sure that we've got our
DDR working properly.
I think we do. And we have just been sort of checking a little bit. Oh God, there goes, was that, we've been looking at a little bit of the Olympics, and we saw one of these BMX riders, and this kid, that bit the dust. Oh, she's a Yank. She's got the patch. Okay. You guys can come back in. God, man.
I just want to see the race.
Okay. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to keep banning you guys from the studio if you keep screwing up.
I understand.
So this girl, she ate it, huh?
Yeah, she looked like she's doing a jump, and then just ate it on a jump.
Yeah.
Well, this is the women's BMX. That's what it is, Dan. And eighth in the standings is the Yank, Elise Post. We got a girl at 16th. You know, the people that are leading this are the Australians as well as the Brits and the
New Zealanders.
All right. Taking a look at other news, stuff that is really interesting to me. You know me, man. I love this kind of stuff. Check this out. Now, I swear to God, I will make this interesting. I swear to God, I'll make it interesting. Fossil by fossil, scientists over the last 40 years have suspected that their models for the more immediate human family tree, the single trunk, straight as a ponderosa pine, up from Homo habilis to Homo erectus to Homo sapiens, were oversimplified. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that scientists have believed that while there were all these other hominids, Neanderthal, for instance, the Australopithecine man, for instance, and all other kinds of two-legged and sometimes, walking upright and maybe even a fairly good-sized brain hominids that were inhabiting the Earth, and at this particular time, mostly Africa, that the human family, you and me, we didn't come from a branch on the tree. We were the trunk. We went straight from the beginning all the way straight up the trunk, and we never branched out. We never, there's no other type of hominid that influenced us. We went from being, as I just said, the Homo habilis to Homo erectus to Homo sapien, which is what we are now, which is a human. That's what scientists believe. They believe that we were on the trunk, and all of these others, these dead ends, were branches that went out and boop, did what a branch does. It stops, and that's the end of that. Well, now they believe that that's just oversimplified. They now believe that they, and to quote the line, a day of serious revision may be well at hand. The discovery of three new fossil specimens announced on Wednesday is the most compelling evidence yet for multiple lines of evolution in our own genus, which is Homo. And you can laugh if you want to. You guys can't laugh because I've had it with you, okay?
Yeah, well, how can you not laugh at that?
Yeah.
How can you not laugh? Are you telling me to the word homo, you got to laugh? Is there some kind of a, is that the code?
Well, you're kind of expected to.
Oh, okay. So if you're an idiot, not a man necessarily, but a stupid man, you got, every time you hear the word homo, you got to, is that what you got to do?
Well, I mean,
not really.
Oh, there you go. Especially if I'm speaking scientifically here, I don't want to have to deal with kicking you guys out of here again. The fossils showed that there were at least two contemporary Homo species in addition to Homo erectus living in East Africa as early as 2 million years ago. Now, as you know, it is clearer and clearer and clearer using mitochondrial DNA, and I know I'm not pronouncing that properly, but who cares, that the origin of the human family is East Africa, if you will, the Garden of Eden, East Africa.
You said only like 1,500 individuals left Africa, right?
That's what they believe. They now believe, scientists are believing, that it only took 1,500 individuals to go, quote, out of Africa and eventually populated the entire world. Now, why only 1,500? Well, for starters, you had to traverse a geographic barrier called the Sahara Desert. By that point, it was beginning to become a desert. We know that Africa at one time, all of Africa was tropic, subtropic. We know that the Sahara Desert had trees. We know this from archaeological evidence. We know this from the natural history that we've been able to ascertain that. And At one time, it was a forested area. We have found fossils of very, very early Homo individuals living in a forested area. Now, by the time we were getting ready to go out of Africa, this had become a very arid desert, and it was a very difficult place to leave on foot. It wasn't like we weren't flying over it. We weren't going in boats. We were like most of, we were walking. And to, if you really, really, if you were a really motivated individual, for whatever reason, who were those people that first went out of Africa? Who were, what species, you know? They were not yet human. I don't believe that they were, the human, that part of the, our evolutionary path had taken place. It might have at some point in Africa. But they were individuals that were very motivated. They want to leave Africa. It's a tough place to farm in. It's a tough place to find wild game. If most of the population, the whole population of the world was there, it would be tougher and tougher for you to find something to eat. There was no farming at that time. But the wild crops that, if you were hunting and gathering, the wild crops that were available were very, very limited. Africa is a northeast axis continent. North-south. North-south axis continent. What have we learned?
You can't go north and south without the climate changing a lot.
Exactly. So when you go north and south, the climate changes radically, and you can't, as a farmer, trade crop packages with a farmer in the north, because what you are growing in the south may be fine in the south. You can't grow it up there, man.
What about all Asia, though?
Asia is an east-west axis. And because Asia is on an east-west axis, meaning you have all of this latitude going east and west, a farmer in Eurasia could trade crop packages with a farmer in China, and it would grow in either place. You're on that latitude. The climate's the same, for the most part. So to get the hell out of Africa, there were some pretty motivated individuals. They had to go across a desert. They had to traverse water. They had, you know, it was a son of a bitch. These are very hardy people that went out of Africa. And when they finally did, they don't believe that any more than 1,500 survived to make the trip.
Those ones went down and, like, became Indians and stuff?
No, they didn't become Indians. It's not very likely that they went, those 1,500 individuals went any further than the Middle East. The Middle East makes sense. People say, well, the Middle East, why the Middle East? Well, hello, what's your first stop once you leave Africa? What's the first really fertile area once you get out of Africa? The Middle East! It's not like all of a sudden, aha, the Middle East. I saw it in a dream. No, it's the place the guy says, this is good enough for me, man. I just want to get the hell out of it. Well, yeah, don't you think? No, I ain't going anywhere. Well, my brother wants to take, well, your brother can go. See you later, Charlie. That's great. Good for you. I don't know, man. There might be something over here. Go ahead. Bye. I'm staying here. That's a son of a bitch. I ain't, now that was kind of a hard trip. You got it. And besides where we, and at that time in the Middle East, there was all kinds of game, all kinds of wild crop packages and stuff. So it was a perfect thing. Of course you're going to stay in the Middle East. And the guys that cut out, they either went due south along the southern Asian continental coast there and wound up in Australia, or they went northeast across the huge Asiatic continent there, across the steppes, up into the Bering Sea area, across the strait and down into North America. And some made a big left turn and went up into Europa. The discovery of these three new fossil specimens announced Wednesday is the most compelling evidence yet for multiple lines of evolution in our genus, Homo, scientists said. The fossils showed that there was at least two contemporary Homo species in addition to Homo erectus living in East Africa as early as 2 million years ago. Uncovered from sandstone at Kubifora Badlands near Lake Turkana in Kenya, the specimens included a well-preserved skull of a late juvenile with a relatively large brain case and a long, flat face, which has been designated KNMER 62,000, or 62,000 for short.
Wait a minute. Got a long, flat face, and it's a kid?
Yeah, got a big, like, a case.
A brain case. Got a big skull. There's a lot of place there for brains.
That's human?
Yeah, it's one of our ancestors. It bears a striking resemblance to the enigmatic cranium known as 1470, the center of debate over multiple lineage since its discovery in the same area in 1972. If the 62,000 skulls showed that 1470 was not a single odd individual, the other two specimens seemed to provide a vital piece of evidence that had been missing. The specimen 1470 had no mandible or lower jaw. Now, what did we learn from the Casey Anthony trial?
That your car going to smell?
That your car's going to smell?
Yeah.
No. You guys don't remember. The mandible falls away from the skull very easily because of the ligaments that hold it to the skull. And so it oftentimes is missing from skulls because it will, very shortly, within, you know, weeks, it just drops away from the skull and may get, kicked around by scavengers and so on. So it was missing this mandible. It had been missing. The specimen 1470 had no mandible or lower jaw. The new finds included an almost completely lower jaw, considered to be the most complete mandible of an early Homo yet found. And it... Don't you laugh.
What are you supposed to do when a guy said the early Homo?
Just grow up, huh? For once. And part of another lower jaw. The fossils were collected between 2007 and 2009 by a team led by Meave and Lewis Leakey. Man, these Leakeys. The mother and daughter paleoanthropologists of the Kubi 4 Research Project and members of the famous African fossil hunting family. God.
They're the same Leakey that went down there back in the 70s?
These Leakeys are everywhere, man. They just leak everywhere. They're leaking all over the place.
Who's Leakey?
This Lewis Leakey and Louise Leakey and the Leakeys are these archaeologists. They're the ones that found, when I was a kid, the Leakeys were at it. They'll never quit. Never. Now they have their daughter, Meave Leakey. Jeez, at least they didn't name her with an L, you know.
Yeah, but it's in the same part of the alphabet.
L-M, you're right. The next one, the grandkid, is probably going to be who?
Probably be Negro. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Shut up, man.
Hey. Negro.
Why would they name him that? Probably just died because of the knee.
So the Leakeys, huh? They're a mother and father and a daughter and a whole deal. Dr. Meave Leakey is the wife of Richard Leakey, a son of Lewis and Mary Leakey, who produced the original evidence supporting Africa's central place in human origins. Those are the discoveries that were made when I was a punk kid, and every time you turned around, there were the Leakeys. All right, let's take a break. I'd love to go into this more and more and more and more, but I'm not going to because then I could go geek on you guys real fast, and I probably already have. We'll be right back. Negro Leakey.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Truth. Phil Hendry is Show. Our will be right bitch. Back. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Don't forget, today's the day, a new episode 28 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast drops, and I believe it will be a Milwaukee Lion podcast, one of the archived Milwaukee Lion podcasts, in anticipation of a new season of Milwaukee Lion football that starts on the 19th, and it'll be carried live here on the Phil Hendry website. At philhendryshow.com, and will also be carried as a podcast that you guys can listen to on the website, those of you with a backstage pass. Also, don't forget to hit up our shop. Every $30 purchase this week until Sunday night at midnight gets two free shot glasses. And if you're watching Phil TV in HD, there is our shot glass. That's a beautiful thing, man. Look at that.
Pretty nice, man.
2-ounce shot? Oh, yeah. I think we may just have to bust this out. By the way, the color scheme on the on our Phil TV tonight, Robert, is all jacked up. This is a yellow sunburst coming from my head, and on TV, it looks decidedly orange. All right. So we figured out who the Leakeys were and why I care about them. Man, I don't know. You know.
Yeah, the Leakey, man, all they do is, all day long is leak. Yeah, they're leaking everywhere.
All right. Well, thank God we have people like that, man, because they're... They're the people that keep the world running. All right, Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, was recovering on Wednesday from heart surgery days after his 82nd birthday. It wasn't clear where the surgery occurred or whether Armstrong, or where he was recuperating, I should say. A NASA spokesman who talked to Armstrong's wife, Carol, said only the former astronaut was recovering. His birthday is coming up on Sunday. A Facebook statement from NASA Administrator Charles Bolden wished Armstrong a quick recovery, and we do too here on the Phil Hendry Show. It was cardiac bypass surgery. He said, Mr. Bolden, Neil's pioneering spirit will surely serve him well in this challenging time. Well, that's not a very good line.
Why?
Well, that bothers me. This challenging time. I guess if you're 82, it's going to be challenging, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've got not any spring chicken, man.
Well, I mean, it's just Neil's pioneering spirit will surely serve him well in this challenging time. Is he okay?
No, it sounds regular surgery.
It's cardiac bypass surgery. And the entire NASA family is holding the Armstrong family in our thoughts and prayers. I hope okay. Well, Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, he and Buzz Aldrin, they planted the U.S. flag on the lunar surface July 20, 1969. Armstrong commanded the Apollo 11 spacecraft that landed on the moon on July 20, 1969, and he radioed back to Earth the historic One Giant Leap for Mankind. They spent 3 hours walking on the moon. A message Wednesday on Aldrin's Twitter account also wished Armstrong well. You know, and Buzz Aldrin's doing great.
Yeah, he's going on to Dancing with the Stars, too.
Yeah, maybe that's what Neil Armstrong should do. Buzz Aldrin, how old is he, man? He was older than Armstrong. He's older than Neil Armstrong.
Yeah?
Yeah, Armstrong was still in his 30s. Hell, you know, I don't know. Armstrong was 39 when they walked on the moon. And I think Aldrin was in his 40s. But every time I see Buzz Aldrin, the guy looks fantastic. And that was the one guy, the rumor mill had it, when they came back from the moon. And this was the rumor mill of the 70s. It was a crazy time, you know, and every kind of stupid thing. And the rumor mill was that Buzz Aldrin came back from the moon and flipped out or otherwise was sitting on flagpoles or something like that, you know.
They thought he'd like... He got all flipped out by outer space.
Well, I mean, the thing they said was Aldrin had stood on the surface of the moon and he'd looked at the magnificence of the universe, and when he came back to Earth, he was back in the same old mud ball and he just went into a complete depression. Now, it's sort of true. He did have a battle with depression, but it wasn't some psychotic flip out, and he seems to be doing very well now. And I've seen him interviewed multiple times, and I saw him interviewed for the series From Earth to Moon, and all kinds of stuff. It was very interesting that he's, you know, going strong. Armstrong and his wife married in 1999 and made their home in the Cincinnati suburb of Indian Hill, but he's largely stayed out of public view in recent years. He spoke at Ohio State University during a February event honoring fellow astronaut John Glenn on the 50th anniversary of Glenn becoming the first Americano to orbit the Oit. In May, Armstrong joined Gene Cernan, the last man to walk on the moon, at Pensacola Naval Air Station in Florida to support the opening of the National Flight Academy, which aims to teach math and science to kids through an aviation-oriented camp. Yeah. Good job. And we hope you do get better, sir. All right, final news story here.
This is interesting, man. It's this guy trying to cover it up and everything.
All right, is this a story you...
Yeah, read the story.
A Long Island man suspected of faking his drowning in a plot to collect life insurance is receiving psychiatric treatment at a hospital, his lawyer said. Son is charged in a case of faked drowning, August 7th, 2012. Man suspected of faking his death has returned to New York. Follow us on Twitter and like... Oh, I'm sorry.
Right there.
The man, Raymond Roth, age 47, of Massapequa, is being treated on Long Island, said his lawyer, Brian Davis, who added that the Roth family had taken Mr. Roth to the hospital late last week. Mr. Davis said that he expected his client would face charges. Mr. Davis said Mr. Roth was depressed and under medication and would be released when doctors determine he's no longer a danger to himself. A spokesman for the Nassau County District Attorney declined to comment. Mr. Roth was reported missing by his son July 28th at Jones Beach. But 5 days later, he was stopped by the police in South Carolina for speeding. The son now, Jonathan Roth, age 22, faces charges including conspiracy to commit insurance fraud. Raymond Roth's wife, Ivana Roth, said last week that she had believed that her husband had died until she discovered emails suggesting a plot. A version of this article appeared in print on August... Get this out of here, bud.
That's what it said.
So what the hell is that all about? You think the wife knew?
But apparently she tried to say she didn't know. I think she did.
I think the whole stinking family stinks. I think they're up to it to... I don't know. What the hell? Faking your own death, man. You can't do that stuff anymore, you know? Did you read there have been a million stories of these jackasses that try to fake... The funniest one, and I do say funny, and I underline the word, was some clown who was up to his ass in hock. He was on it. He was one step ahead of the law, this guy. He was one of these investment bankers. Anyway, make a long story short, he got into his private plane. He got on the phone and said, he got on the horn and told the air traffic control, oh my God, I've lost control of my plane, oh, this, that, right? Then he bailed out of the plane. He put it on autopilot. The plane crashes short of the Gulf of Mexico. But he winds up anyway trying to hide out from the cops. It, like 12 hours later, they found the guy.
12 hours?
Yeah, it wasn't any kind of a, you know, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It wasn't any kind of a world-famous Phil Henry Show. It is produced by Dan Northcraft and by me, Phil Henry. Get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com and enjoy it, baby. Enjoy the thousands of hours of access to, thousands of hours of a great programming that you have access to. All right, we'll see you tonight. Till then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.